This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. One of the big pieces of tech news this week was that Apple has bought Beats. Beats are the headphones that you see so many people walking around with, you know, with the lowercase b on the side. They actually sell more of their headphones than Apple sells or gives away of their earbuds. So why does Apple need to get into the headphone business? Here to explain this is Peter Kafka from Recode.net. Peter, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Why are they getting into the headphone business?
So this is a very confusing question to lots of people. Apple keeps providing the same answer, though, so you can take them at face value or not. They say what they're primarily interested in are the people who created the Beats headphones and the Beats Music service. That's a part of that as well. That's Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre and the rest of their team. So even though the Beats headphones business is maybe $1.3 billion a year business, which Apple is excited about, what they're most excited about is working with the people who made those headphones that made that, the music service.
So it's not just to get into the streaming business, which they already were in with iTunes Radio, right?
Yeah, I mean, Apple's been in digital music since 2003, sort of invented the category. And they could certainly get into streaming music on a subscription service if they wanted to on their own. They seem to place a giant value on the talent of the folks they're buying. I think economically what they're saying is, look, the headphone business makes enough money that if we buy it for $3 billion, within a couple of years, it'll pay for itself. So we're sort of getting these guys essentially for free. I don't think they would quite say it that way, but that's sort of how the economics work.
Let's talk about the streaming music business for a while, because Apple, with iTunes and their iTunes Store, they were the ones who revolutionized the way people listen to music, because instead of having to go the old Napster route of trying to steal it or find it, now you can just download any song or any album you want, or movies or TV, anytime. Why do they want to get away from the download side and get into the streaming side?
Yeah, I think they still like the download music business. The truth is that business is slowing, whether Apple likes it or not. It might even be declining, depending on whose numbers you're using. So there are a growing number of consumers, not a lot, it's still a minority of digital music consumers, who like the idea of either streaming their music from a free service like Pandora or YouTube, or in some cases paying, you know, about $10 a month to rent as much music as they want. If you're Apple, it seems to make sense, I think, they think, to service that population. It's still a pretty small group. We had Jimmy Iovine on our stage last night talking about Spotify, which is sort of the best-known streaming music service. And that only has 10 million subscribers globally. And Jimmy Iovine's point is, you know, in the U.S. it ought to have 10 million subscribers. So it's still sort of a niche product, but it is growing.
And how does Beats Music do?
Beats Music launched in January. They said last night again on our stage that they had 250,000 subscribers, which is not a world-beating number. It's okay. They had a big promotional push from AT&T, which is where they've gotten most of their subscribers. And I think the thinking here is, look, Apple has, by Apple's count, I think 800 million people who have got credit cards on file. There's a giant marketing machine that they can push out. So if they want to push this service to a lot of people, they can. Doesn't mean they'll subscribe, but at least they'll have a better chance of getting those people to sign up.
Yeah, but isn't there a big obstacle between 250,000 Beats subscribers and the 70 million that are listening to Pandora for free?
Yeah, and that's the crucial point, right? Do you want to pay for this stuff at all? There's a bunch of smart people that I talk to in the music industry that say as long as these streaming music services sell for $10 a month, which to me sounds reasonable, it's not going to be a mainstream product because that works out to be $120 a year. That's much more than people ever spent on CDs during the CD era. And in a world where you can get lots of stuff for free and pay almost any game you want for free, the idea of asking people to spend that much money for music, as disappointing as it sounds with music labels, that might be a stretch.
Had Apple considered getting into the subscription music business before this, or were they waiting for the right company to buy?
Steve Jobs was sort of famously against subscription streaming services. He would privately express a lot of disdain for them. Reportedly, he was very trying to sort of slow down Spotify's entry into the U.S. I don't know whether he thought people didn't actually want that or if it would disrupt his download business. It's a fairly minor step for Apple to take, frankly, at this point, because most people offer a subscription streaming music service. It's sort of table stakes. Google has one. Amazon has one. There's no reason for Apple not to have one.
Do you think that this is a step towards Apple taking on Netflix with a streaming video service?
Boy, it really doesn't seem like that's something Apple is interested in doing. As comfortable as they are with the media business and as many relationships as they have with people in the media business, they don't seem like someone who wants to sort of curate a service like that. That said, 3 months ago, I wouldn't have said they were going to spend $3 billion on Beats. This is certainly a new type of deal for them.
You mentioned Steve Jobs. He died, 3 years ago or so. And there's a perception for many people, whether it's on Wall Street or elsewhere, that Apple hasn't been cool. They haven't come out with anything really cool since then. They've had new iterations of iPhones, and supposedly the new iPhone 6 is going to come out this fall. But we're not hearing about anything that's knocking down any real walls of innovation, are we?
Yeah, that's a recurring criticism of Apple. The standard defense of Apple is you can't actually create world-beating revolutionary products every couple of years. Even if Steve Jobs was there, it doesn't mean that he would come out with one every couple of years. We're sort of waiting for the next big thing. So we'll see. That there's certainly a lot of anticipation. Last night on our stage, Eddie Q, who runs Apple's media and internet services products, said the product pipeline was the best he's seen at Apple in 25 years. Now, he may just mean there's more incremental change in the way, and that's pretty awesome. Or there may be something really transformative, but we'll see this year.
Yeah, that could mean, hey, we've made the iPad Air screen better or something. This is going to blow your mind.
Yeah, that's what Apple, I think one of the frustrations people have had with Apple the last couple of years is Tim Cook has said similar things like this. The product of lineup is amazing. We've got amazing new products. And everyone expects to see an iWatch or an Apple TV or a Jetpack or a space elevator. And they come out with an iPad mini that has a nicer screen. And by Apple standards, that's amazing and revolutionary because Apple loves hyperbole. I think at some point they're going to have to stop saying that and actually produce something that's really genuinely amazing.
You know, this is the week that Google was in the news because they're developing a self-driving car. They've been working on the software and they showed off the hardware this week for the first time. Has Apple lost the cachet of being the cool tech company to Google?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at the conference where Google showed off their self-driving car, and there's just about everybody here is walking around with some version of an iPhone or an iProduct. And the thing about Google self-driving car is as amazing and interesting as it is, it's basically a concept, a product at this point. They're not selling any of these. They're not coming out. Apple, to its credit, when it does deliver something, even if it's just an iPad Air with a nicer screen, you can buy it the next month. So that is one difference. Apple's never going to show you something they're going to develop in 5 years.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, one cool thing we did see from a company you never hear about talked about as cool anymore was Microsoft, which came out with showed us a demo of a Skype translation service that would translate from English or German or whatever language on the fly in real time, which they say will come out this year. And it doesn't sound like a Jetpack or an Apple TV. But if you think about that, that could really be a really helpful and useful innovation. So it'd be cool if that came out.
Absolutely. To me, more of a game changer for consumers than, here's another subscription music service. But we started here, Peter, talking about a company that is best known for those headphones. As I mentioned, the ones with the lowercase b on the side, yep, that have become ubiquitous. I think they have something like a 50% market share.
Yeah, I think more than that. And they also basically created that market. No one was paying hundreds of dollars for headphones before they showed up.
Are they good headphones?
It's funny. I can take them or leave them. Lots of people like them, which I guess is the most important thing. Lots of audiophiles will say these things actually aren't very good. The one thing you can definitively say is that they seem to offer better sound quality than the Apple headphones, which are notoriously mediocre.
I wonder if that even matters anymore. You mentioned audiophiles. There was a time where people, a large number of people, cared about the quality of things. But maybe in this compressed world where we're all listening to MP3s and downloaded stuff and converting them to smaller and smaller files, whether high quality audio of the Bang & Olufsen years even matters anymore.
That era is long gone. There is a small segment of the population that cares about audio quality, Neil Young among them. Part of the Beats pitch from Jimmy Iovine is we can change that. We can give people better things to hear. They're not used to it, but if we give them better headphones and better speakers, they'll like them. So that will be part of their pitch. Again, last night he was saying, we would like that everyone who buys an iPhone will eventually upgrade to to better headphones, and we'll sell them.
Interesting that they're selling really expensive headphones and making money with it, and here they sell a company for $3 billion to another company for whom $3 billion, pocket change.
It is pocket change by Apple standards, as astonishing as it sounds. As to say it, the thing that makes this really newsworthy for Apple is that Apple hasn't made an acquisition of this size. If this was Google or Facebook, then no one would blink an eye. These guys are paying $19 billion for messaging apps, or $2 billion for virtual reality goggles that no one can buy. And no one really even thinks that's odd at this point. But this is, by those standards, this is relatively modest. But for Apple, which traditionally doesn't spend a lot of money on individual acquisitions and doesn't buy other people's brands and keep them around, this is out of character for them.
Fascinating stuff. Peter Kafka is a tech correspondent for Recode.net. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.